How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome to the Locked On Celtics podcast. We are the reigning Jays. John Corrales here, along with Jay King. And ladies and gentlemen of the congregation, let us please open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 4, verse 1. And the basketball god said, when things are their bleakest, when shots are not falling, when you're shooting 20 damn percent in the first half, he will come to save you. And that, Isaiah that, did.
That was kind of corny, man, but
it I works like it for anyway. Tonight. It works for tonight. Isaiah Thomas rescued the Celtics with the most amazing 44-point game. 44 points on 16 field goal attempts. 10 of 16 from the field, 7 of 10 from 3, 17 of 17 from the line. And not only that, it was his fourth quarter in his second half. The fourth quarter, 24 points in OT. Fourth quarter in OT, 24 points on 5 of 7 shooting, a perfect 5 from 5 from 3, 9 free throws. Ha! Jay! We have ourselves the first signature win of the season.
And what a freaking way to get a signature win, man. Like, they're down 17 points in the second half. They're still down 9 at the beginning of the fourth quarter. Stevens has the new, okay, let's put Isaiah Thomas in at the beginning of the fourth thing. Thomas scores 9 points over the first 2 minutes, then finds Amir Johnson to bring him basically all the way back. And then Conley hit shots, Troy Daniels hit shots, Zach Randolph hit shots, and the Celtics kept coming back and coming back. And it was Isaiah a lot, but Avery Bradley with awesome defense down the stretch on Mike Conley, Al Horford with some awesome, awesome defense on Marc Gasol down the stretch. Neither of those guys really did too much over the last, I don't know how many minutes, because Horford and Bradley were so good. And the whole second half, the Celtics just had to be so dialed in, because that first half, which we don't even have to talk about because it was so gross, but I mean, they're down 14 points at halftime to the number one ranked defense in the league, and they come flying back, and they just never stopped that whole second half in overtime. Just the best the Celtics have played, the most committed they have been at both ends, and good basketball all season long. Just a great, great performance. And Isaiah Thomas, outrageous. 44 points on 16 shots is ridiculous.
Let's just, for a second, because we'll talk about Isaiah all night. The Celtics really won this game in non-Isaiah ways by limiting offensive rebounds. They gave up 12 in the first half. In the second half, in OT, they gave up 5. And I thought there was a Tony Allen offensive rebound in OT that I thought, oh, God, they'd given up 4 throughout that entire stretch, and that was going to be the one offensive rebound that kicked us in the balls
and that was going to be the one that cost them, but they overcame that. It was limiting offensive rebounds, and it was switching Avery Bradley onto Mike Conley. Now, Mike Conley and Isaiah Thomas went toe-to-toe in the fourth quarter. That was an amazing fourth quarter to watch. That was a duel. That was a battle. But Isaiah Thomas down the stretch, and Avery Bradley down the stretch and in OT, locking Conley up while IT went nuts on the other end. And you're right. Horford doing a great job defensively. Those things really allowed for the Celtics to come all the way back. So, yeah, it takes an heroic effort from Isaiah Thomas. But let's not overlook the incredible defensive effort by Bradley and Horford, because when you're coming back from a deficit, I think it was 17 at its highest point. When you're coming back from that in the second half, you have to get the stops. And those two guys were the key reasons why they got the stops. And then, obviously, that let Isaiah Thomas go completely nuts. So I want to give those guys their due. Now let's just gush about Isaiah Thomas for the next 20 minutes.
Well, those guys deserve their due, too, because like Isaiah went nuts. Isaiah, he became one of five players now in the entire Basketball Reference database who has ever scored 44 points on 16 or less field goal attempts. Just a bonkers, bonkers performance against, again, the NBA's top-ranked defense. But all those other guys deserve the praise. This was a complete Celtics win. This wasn't like Isaiah does it by himself. This was Isaiah throws a turnover, Marcus Smart chases the play from behind and forces a turnover the other way.
Yep.
And then the Celtics get a bucket. So, I mean, everybody chipped into this one. Isaiah Thomas was just the one who put the ball in the basket all the freaking time. But a really nice performance from everybody else. Al Horford, you know, it's going to get lost now. Stevens drew up a hell of a play with 0.9 seconds left in regulation to get Al Horford on the lob. I think Tony Allen deflected the pass a little bit and kind of threw off Horford's timing. He missed a really short look as time expired there. But obviously, it didn't matter. It only gave Isaiah Thomas more of a chance to dominate. And the Celtics defense just really flexed when it needed to. I mean, the Grizzlies were making great shots. That was just such a fun game. It was back and forth. All the big players were making big-time plays. Isaiah Thomas was next level. Some of the defense was next level. Just a really, really enjoyable game to watch.
Here's the one thing I want to mention about Avery Bradley, who locked down Mike Conley at the end, and he was doing it with five fouls. Just still a bulldog with five fouls, an opportunity to foul out of the game, and he still stuck with it. And, oh, by the way, he scored 16 points on 5 of 8 shooting and 5 of 6 free throws and had 3 assists. He had a nice offensive game, but this was an immense defensive game for Bradley. He, Horford, Jay Crowder, all plus 11s in a game that they trailed by 17. So three guys who deserve a ton of credit. Bradley's defense tonight, this was the most Avery Bradley game that we've seen. That the way he locked up Conley down the stretch without fear of foul, great footwork, staying in front of him, that was perfect Avery Bradley. This was the perfect Avery Bradley game. If we could lock this up, bottle it up, and take this forever and ever, I will take this exact performance. 16 points. I mean, okay, maybe 62% shooting is a little much, but just 16 points on good shooting, getting to the free throw line a little bit, making some nice passes, grabbing a few rebounds, and playing the defense that he did, that would be just such a great player to have on a contending team.
Yeah, and it's funny because there was an article on ESPN.com published today talking about how the Grizzlies have been unbelievable in clutch situations and that they're 12-1 this season in clutch games, which is defined by the NBA.com, I believe, as games that are 5 points or fewer at some point over the last 5 minutes of a game. So they were 12-1 in situations like that. And the Celtics came all the way back in the fourth quarter, took the lead, gave it back, came back in overtime. So they did it against the best clutch team so far in the league, a team that relentlessly executes at both ends and just really, really earned that one. Like, they earned that one. Brad Stevens, he made some questionable lineup decisions, I thought. In the first half, he went with, like, I think it was 7 minutes of play without either Thomas or Horford on the court. The Celtics offense completely stalled, as you would imagine it would without those guys against such a great defense. It was like Marcus Smart was chucking up late shot clock threes. Jaylen Brown was chucking up threes. Just brick after brick after brick. For a 12-minute span, the Celtics scored 7 points, which is almost impossible in the NBA with the shot clock and everything. So I don't know why Stevens decided to go with the no all-star look when he's staggered those guys a lot, but they really, really couldn't score against the Memphis defense. And he tried it again at the end of the third quarter, and they had pulled it to 4, and Memphis pushed it right back out to 9 by the time Thomas came in to just go berserk in the fourth quarter. So it was a good thing for Thomas. It was a good thing the Celtics were so damn good down the stretch, because this is one of the nights when I think you could look at what Stevens did and question some of it.
Yeah, I agree. And I wonder if some of it has to do with this stretch of games, because the Celtics play tonight, and then they play Thursday and Friday in a back-to-back, and then they play Sunday at noon. So I can't help but think that some of this was an attempt to get some guys' minutes and rest Horford and rest Thomas a little bit. So, of course, that didn't work out so great because they ended up going into overtime, and Thomas still played 38 minutes and Horford played almost 40. So that didn't work out necessarily, but I feel like early on, Stevens might have been looking for a way to get other guys involved because he knows that he's got a bunch of games coming up. And yeah, some of it was stacked. But look, the Celtics had an early, I believe, 10-4 lead. I thought the Celtics at the beginning looked okay. And that first half by halftime, we were all just disgusted and posting, vomiting GIFs on Twitter trying to describe how bad this game was. But in the early minutes, it's hard to remember at this point, the Celtics came out to a pretty strong start. And I thought it might have been an opportunity for the Celtics to kind of get a big lead, push it to double digits, and maybe, just maybe, coast to something positive. But that didn't work out at all. So,
not exactly how things worked out there.
No. But for a second there, I thought, okay, let's see how it goes. Let's see. Maybe he's trying to, okay, you rest Isaiah Thomas. I thought he came out a little early. You pull out Horford. You're like, all right. You know, maybe he's thinking we got things going a little bit. And then everything just goes off the damn cliff. But whatever. We'll take it. I'm sure they'll take tomorrow off, or, well, by the time you listen to this, today off. And they'll just have to figure it out for the next 3 games and 4-night stretch. So I like what Stevens is doing with Isaiah Thomas in the fourth quarter, though. And this is the new wrinkle that started over the past few games. Start him. He plays the third quarter. You sub him out with a few minutes to go. He starts the fourth. And then you pull him out with somewhere around 7 minutes to go. You know that the NBA has a mandatory timeout right around the 6-minute mark. That's going to get you a little extra time. That's a mandatory timeout that comes in the second and fourth quarters and not in the first and third quarters. So you know you got an extra timeout that's there. You rest him a little bit. You maybe try to stretch it out of the timeout, and you get him in at that next stoppage of play, and then he plays the last 4.5 minutes or so. So that's not too bad.
Let's just let it be known. Isaiah Thomas does not fuck around in fourth quarters. he does not. He's been angling to play the whole fourth quarter since he got to Boston. It's like one of those. I think I tweeted it earlier tonight. It's one of the funny subplots of the season. Is he wants to play every single fourth quarter minute. When he doesn't play in fourth quarters, he gets upset. And I don't think Brad Stevens really cared that he wanted to play every minute. But since they've gone to it, he has been a handful. He just he does not fuck around in fourth quarters, man. He just doesn't.
That's one way to put it.
He at least entered the night behind only Russell Westbrook in fourth quarter scoring, and that was with the Celtics limiting his minutes in the fourth quarter to usually like the last five or six over the first, I don't know how many games. So now that he's playing the whole fourth quarter, watch out, world. Isaiah Thomas is going to post some big numbers. He was a mighty shot making performance. He got to the line 17 times. He made 10 of 16 shots. He made, I believe it was 7 of 10 3-pointers.
7 of 10.
Just an absurd game.
Yeah.
And he only had one turnover.
One turnover. That's a huge thing. Because I wrote today on Red's Army, and I don't have it up in front of me, but he's the only player ever, if he were to finish the season with these numbers, 25.9 points, 6 assists, and he has 2.2 turnovers per game. He would be the only player in NBA history to have that many points, that many assists, while having that few turnovers. So he only increased those numbers tonight, obviously scoring 44. He still had 6 assists and only one turnover. No player has had those numbers while still protecting the ball as well as he does. Now, you can go onto Basketball Reference and have a lot of things tweaked and blah, blah, blah to say no player has done certain things. But look, Isaiah Thomas, forget about the fact that he's 5'9". Let's just throw that out the window. He is having an awesome season. Not just an all-star season. I mean, this guy, he won't be an all-star starter, but he is having an all-star starter caliber season. He's having an amazing season, and if this can continue, and obviously it's not even Christmas yet, but if this can continue, it is one of the better seasons that an NBA point guard has had.
Yeah, I mean, he is going on a tear right now. He is, I mean, damn, 44 on 16. It's hard to believe.
Yeah, it is.
It's hard to believe.
It's hard. It's very hard to believe what he did tonight.
16 shots, 44 points. It's almost impossible. But there it is, man.
But he did it.
And he did it.
That's what Isaiah Thomas does. Look, the Celtics scored 31 points in the first half. They then followed that up with 31 points in the third quarter, 35 in the fourth quarter, and then 15 points in the five-minute OT. That is, I mean, talk about a turnaround. And it all coincides with Isaiah Thomas. And it all coincides with the Celtics, again, going back to the offensive rebound. The first half was marred with the Celtics giving up a ton of offensive rebounds. They gave up 12 in the first half. Memphis's strategy in the first half might as well have been, we'll take long jumpers, miss them, and just get the rebound and put it in. This way, you just shoot 50%. It's their best way of scoring. They didn't have to run any offense. It was ridiculous. So it's nice to see the Celtics actually started to box out and prevent second chance points. But, I mean, damn, the Celtics were outscored 23-5 tonight in second chance points. Almost entirely in the first half. So that's where the game turned around.
Yep, they started committing on the boards. I mean, Conley hit some unreal shots. Troy Daniels was fantastic. Gasol, for a long time, seemed like he wouldn't miss a jumper. and the Celtics just kept coming. They didn't stop. That was just a fun game, man. Like it's hard to say it in different ways. That was just a really enjoyable game to watch. My man Rifesy, our number one tweeter, tweeted with the hashtag Rain and Jays, which you guys can all use. Tweeted, win or lose, this has been my favorite game of the year. Winning would make it better, though. And it definitely made it better, man. That was just an entertaining game. I'm sitting here with back spasms. I had to take 6 Advil earlier just to loosen up just a little bit. I got 2 pillows on my back, and I didn't even feel the pain for like the second half in overtime. It was just I lost myself in the game, and I don't think I felt the pain again until I started talking about it right now and reminded myself that I'm hurt.
So playing hurt.
Way to go, Jay. Yeah,
Jay,
I mean,
King.
I was tough as nails.
The mystery machine. We'll see.
It should. It should. I mean, I really set the tone for the Celtics tonight.
I know. I will say, I do have a source in the Celtics locker room, and I believe the quote, or at least the paraphrase, was, "God damn it, you assholes. If Jay King can work with back spasms, why can't you guys go out there and play basketball?" And that was his halftime speech.
Yeah, he probably just went in and said, when the beat writer is the toughest man around, you guys have to reexamine things. And they came out a lot better team.
That was it.
That was all he needed to hear.
Little,
I mean, obviously,
inside information.
Stevens knows how to motivate his guys, and they know that they need to live up to my example, and that's what they did.
Let me flip this around. There's another thing I want to talk about that it's completely forgotten from a Celtics perspective. Pretty sure this is going to get discussed a lot in Memphis.
Zach Randolph.
The Zach Randolph ejection. So for the second Celtics game in a row, we had an elbow to the face get reviewed. Consensus online was probably a flagrant 1. It ended up being a flagrant 2, and the player was ejected. Now, I wrote today, I went off on Red's Army, and I understand that I was being a little overly dramatic, saying that when you have a review process that reviews something like this, determines it's a flagrant 2, and a player is ejected, and then the league later on says, nah, it wasn't, that completely undermines the review process. And maybe you read that on redsarmy.com and you said, stop being so dramatic, John. But I know that this shit happens in bunches, and it happened again the next night. And I don't care that it benefited us. I think that was a crap ejection. I think in today's NBA, sure, it was an elbow that caught Olynyk under the chin. It looked bad. It dropped him. I hope he's okay and there's no concussion or anything like that. I don't think there is, but we'll see. So, fine. Flagrant 1, fine. I get it. Today's NBA, that's a flagrant 1. To throw him out on that after the review, we know that is going to get rescinded. It's going to go back to a flagrant 1. And now we have a second high-profile case of an extended review that stalls the game, that results in a key player getting ejected. And I'm sure Memphis can sit there and say, hey, maybe if we had Zach Randolph, we could have gotten one or two of those rebounds down the stretch. Maybe we would have won that game.
That was a bad call. And to me, it's like, if you're making a decision in the moment whether to eject someone from a game, it better be an easy call. It better be an obvious flagrant 2 foul. That to me was borderline. And he hit Olynyk hard. If he hit a normal sized man that hard, there might have been a death, or at least like a popped Adam's apple. That thing was a mean elbow. When Zach Randolph hits it, it feels like you got smacked by the trunk of a tree. But I just didn't think there was I thought it was borderline, and if it's borderline, leave him in the game. let him finish it out. Give him the two free throws. Give him the flagrant foul, but let him stay in the game. I didn't think – I mean, that was far more – so the rule for the flagrant two foul, it doesn't necessarily have to be intentional. It's if the contact is unnecessary and excessive. So that was more of a flagrant two foul than Isaiah Thomas's was the other night, because that was unnecessary. He didn't – that was not a basketball play, the elbow to the neck, obviously. And – anytime Zach Randolph hits you, it might be excessive. So obviously Olynyk was like he could probably barely breathe for a while, but I still don't like the call. It should change. Let him play. I mean, it was a downer in a game that was so damn good after the fourth quarter started. To have Zach Randolph get ejected for a borderline flagrant was a downer, and it didn't need to happen. They should have let him play. But they didn't, and Isaiah Thomas was a killer, and Isaiah Thomas does not fuck around down the stretch, and Avery Bradley and Al Horford did so much good for their team, and that was one hell of a team win.
That was indeed a hell of a team win, and a win that we were looking for. A
Finally.
Win where
it
the
took
Celtics...
them long enough to get a good win.
Yeah, man. Down 17, looking dead, on their way to a blowout. I will say, by the way, that I tweeted when they were down 17 that at some point they were going to have the ball and a chance to tie the game. And they did not only do that. They came all the way back. Just want to, just say that I said that.
Congrats, but, man.
Thank you.
Congrats. I'm tapping you on the back right now.
Yeah, I can feel it. I can feel it. Even with your bad back reaching all the way across Skype through the interwebs to
I'm
do
I'm a
that.
Warrior.
You
I
are
am
a
warrior.
Warrior. I think, you know what this means? I think that means we should be rated 5 stars on iTunes. My prediction and your powering through the back spasms has to be worth 5 stars. In fact, I'd say it'd be worth 6 or 7 or 8 stars if it was possible, but you can only give 5. So if you're a subscriber on iTunes, 5 stars at this point, bare minimum. You got to do it. It makes perfect sense. If you're not a subscriber on iTunes, then you subscribe first, and then you rate us 5 stars. If you do not like iTunes, well, great. We've got Google Play. We've got Stitcher. We've got an RSS feed on our Audio Boom page, or you download the Audio Boom app. Get us that way. Plug the RSS feed into your podcatcher. I use Pocket Casts. Plug that in there. Boom. Search for us, Locked On Celtics. Just do a search. We're there. Wherever it is you get your podcast, do a search. You'll find us. While you're there, check out our other Locked On Podcast Network brothers. The Locked On NBA show is great. They just had a big series with the coach and the scout breaking down things. Locked On Fantasy, get yourselves a leg up on your competition as the leagues step up into the meat of the regular season. Get yourself an edge. Listen to Locked On Fantasy. That's a great, great show on a daily basis, breaking things down. So, I like this. This is nice. This is a nice win. Isaiah Thomas is awesome. I think that's a good place to leave it. Isaiah Thomas is awesome. We're not going to talk about any of the bad things that happened in the first or second quarter. There's plenty of time for that. I don't care. Do you care?
No, I don't care at all. A win's a win, and that only made that win more beautiful.
Yes. Best win of the season to date. The Celtics rolling along 3 wins in a row after three losses. They're putting things together. The healthy Celtics are back, feeling good, looking good, beating a good team finally. So with that, we will end our show. Actually, before we end the show, I'll just let you know that here's a little piece of audio from me, a little added benefit, a little added bonus if you care to listen to it. If not, you can just shut us off. I don't care. Whatever. We're fine. But it's a little something extra. It's me, my pal Rich Kimball in Bangor, Maine on The Pulse, Maine. They have me on every Tuesday. So here's that. And thank you for listening to us here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Yeah, Jay King and John Corrales. Locked on Celtics. Millie's.
Up next on Downtown, it's time for our weekly visit, talking Celtics with John Corrales of RedsArmy.com and the Locked On Celtics podcast. John, good afternoon for the final time before Christmas. What would we put in your stocking as a Celtics guy?
A 5-game win streak.
I like
that. How about
that? That sounds pretty good. Well, we're 40% of the way there after they've taken the last two, and maybe we saw a little glimpse of how this could go the other night against Miami as the defense came up big, 23 forced turnovers. Tell me that's a sign of things to come.
Well, I wouldn't exactly say they forced a lot of those turnovers. Miami was very complicit in a lot of those turnovers. They're not great when it comes to that, but look, 23 turnovers is what it is. Jay Crowder had 5 steals. He's had some issues with his ankle that I think are still lingering a little bit, but he's moving a little bit better. But this is the type of defense, this is the type of team that we like to see. That first quarter was pretty perfect as far as the Celtics went. They hit most of their shots. They got a lot of easy looks. They were out in transition a lot. They held Miami to a very low percentage, again, with those turnovers. So I wouldn't say necessarily that that's a huge, huge sign of moving forward, because not every team's going to make some of the passes that Miami made. But look, when teams do that, you got to be ready to take advantage of it. And the Celtics were. And now we're starting to see with the Celtics at full strength what they're able to do. And so, yes, it is a positive sign and a lot of good things happening with key guys finally playing some solid minutes.
Did Isaiah Thomas suffer from what appeared to me to be a really bad call the other night?
Oh, when he got kicked out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't great. Now, you'll see players, if you really watch the game closely, you'll see players make that move where they kind of bring the ball up over, and those elbows come out a little bit. That is a way to clear space, because no defender really wants to get caught peeping in there and get caught with an elbow like Justice Winslow did. That's a foul on Isaiah Thomas, no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah.
And in today's NBA, at the end of 2016, a flagrant one, fine, I can accept that. But the thing that gets me about the flagrant two is that the officials on the floor, and the word was that Tony Brothers did not even think that he should have ejected Isaiah Thomas. But when they've sent it back to Secaucus for the league review, they ruled it a flagrant two. So with that being the case, why would the league spend all that time reviewing something and call it a flagrant two and then put under further review and then say, oh, no, never mind? So that's something that really bothers me. That's an extended review that took time out of the game, that kicked out a star player, that killed the momentum for the Celtics, that gave Miami a ton of momentum, that spurred a huge comeback. That could have significantly changed the entire course of the season if that led to a tiebreaker that changed the Celtics' fortunes in the playoffs. So the NBA is lucky that no one got hurt, that the Celtics didn't lose that game, because reversing that call after that review just undermines the entire review system. If you're looking at that game and you say, see, they can't even get those calls right after they review them, why do we even have the reviews? Just undermines the entire system. It calls things into question. And really, the NBA needs to take a look at this particular situation as a pretty important moment. And how do they react to this moving forward? How do they move these judgment calls into, I don't know, somebody else's hands, or put more people in on calls like this? Something. But yeah, he was the victim of a very terrible call, and this has greater implications across the NBA.
John, are you impressed with some of the little things that Marcus Smart has been doing lately?
Oh yeah, you know, he's still very much a work in progress as a player. He's only 22 years old. I'm a big proponent, if anybody follows me on Twitter, whenever he makes a great pass, I just like to say Marcus Smart can pass. That's kind of my thing this season. I love saying it because he really throws some of the finest passes you're going to see out there. And those pocket passes off the dribble, when all of a sudden it looks like he's going to dribble again, and boom, it's off, you know, down the lane, alley-oop, something. He has great vision. He knows where his teammates are going to be. So he's doing that really well. Obviously, he's a great defender. He's just straight ripping the ball out of people's hands much of the time. And as much as his shooting needs a lot of work, in the right circumstances, if he finds himself in the corner on catch and shoots, those are – he's hitting those at a pretty good rate. So that particular – it's only one shot. It's one type of shot. But that's promising. So little bits and pieces here in a very specific role that Marcus Smart, as the point guard, is doing pretty well. So what does that mean moving forward? We'll have to see if he can kind of put some of the other things together. The Celtics do need him to be a little more versatile than that, but there are very point guardy things that he's doing pretty well. So if you're looking for bright spots for the future, those are things that you can point to and things that are helping the Celtics win now.
John Corrales, RedsArmy.com, the Locked On Celtics podcast with us. After watching the other night, and you know, I love Jay Crowder, Avery Bradley anyway, but to seeing their decision-making approach to things, man, I like them more. If all decisions in life could be made using rock, paper, scissors, what a great world it would be.
I love it. The best part about all of that is Brad Stevens deadpanning the next day and with a straight face delivering it to the media in a very sarcastic but deadpan way that, oh yeah, we use rock, paper, scissors for all of our decisions. And we play a tournament as you know during the timeout, and I come in and figure out who won the rock, paper, scissors tournament, and that's who we draw up the play for. Like that whole thing, that somebody as intense as Jay Crowder would initiate that they would do it and kind of break the ice a little bit. And a key moment of the game, it's nice. It's nice to see them kind of loose in those situations rather than being overly tense. It's a good sign. When you're playing basketball, being loose and having your shoulders kind of free and kind of just being natural out there, that just helps everything come together. When you're tight and your shoulders hunch up, your shot gets a little bit off. When they say tighten up, they literally mean that. So good to see, and good to see these guys having fun with it. Good to see Brad Stevens, who seems to be an aw shucks guy, kind of really opening up a little bit and being a little more sarcastic. He takes little baby steps towards eventually becoming Greg Popovich someday. Not now, not soon, but someday. He's getting there.
John, you want DeMarcus Cousins?
No. No. I don't want DeMarcus Cousins. I don't want Nerlens Noel. I don't want any of those guys. I know Cousins is a very controversial guy. He's really good. Like, he's got the skills, and he puts out a performance that makes him a top 5, top 10 player in the NBA. He's big. He can move. He can shoot. He can defend. But it's just something about that attitude that I don't like it. It doesn't sit well with me, and I just don't want that around. And, you know, some of these instances, you can maybe explain some things away. You can make an argument that, get my brother, you know, don't talk about my brother, like, don't touch his family and all that stuff. If you want to say that's in its own world understandable, fine. Each incident in its own little vacuum may be understandable to certain people, but taken as a whole, it's just a bad pattern, and that's just not something that I want around my team. I don't want to have guys distracted by that stuff. So not going to have – if I'm sitting there as Danny Ainge, I'm not going to put that kind of toxic element and give up all of these assets for a guy who could potentially do more harm than good.
I'm with you on that. Tonight the road trip continues against the Memphis Grizzlies, and if you look at the two centers tonight, almost in terms of their approach to the game, when you look at Horford and Gasol, almost mirror images of each other in their style and approach.
Yeah, that's a very unselfish, kind of facilitating type of player, a guy that you can just give the ball to no matter where he is on the floor and expect him to make the right decision. For the Celtics, they're just going to have to run and use their youth and energy and not give in to a slower prodding type of pace. You got to take Marc Gasol and make him run. They might be similar players, but Al Horford is much more athletic. You got to get him up and down the floor, pull him away, and try to get him tired. And once you do that, you have a much greater chance of beating them. They are a surprise. They are very well coached. They have that cohesion. That's not going to be an easy effort tonight at all. They're going to be really, really tough. And we got them twice this month. So I think the Celtics have the athleticism and the ability to turn them over as well and get out there and run and get on that fast break. And I don't know if Memphis is going to be able to make up a lot of ground if the Celtics are playing like that.
John Corrales joins us every Tuesday to talk Celtics here on Downtown. John, as always, thank you. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll check in with you again next week.
All right. Thanks a lot.